If you ain't feeling it, you ain't awake. That's all it is. So welcome to New Life, everybody. Welcome to the family. I'm glad you guys are here today. I knew the Lord had a message of prayer, but then he wanted to show up and show us how to do it, and that's even a better way. So God is good. Amen. So announcements. We got a lot coming up. So here we go. August 3rd or 4th. Keep this in your calendar. I'll let you guys know which day. It's a Thursday or a Friday night. It'll probably be the Thursday night, the 3rd. We're going to go, whoever wants to join me, we're going to go with a Fountain of Living Waters. And we're going to hit every school beginning probably about 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock. We're going to hit every school and pray over every school in Snowline. So it's a couple hours. We're going to go over there, and they've done it, I guess, the last couple of years, and we've been invited to go with them. And I said, yeah, because we're not just a church that prays. We are a praying church. Amen. So I would like to get a caravan going. We'll meet up with them, and we're going to hit every school in Snowline, including Wrightwood. All right? I'm not sure yet.
We'll get the times and the starting point. We'll get the route soon.
Yeah, the 3rd or the 4th. It's probably going to be the 3rd. That's that Thursday, all right, of August, because school starts on the 10th. Sorry, Gracie.
So invite everybody that you know to come.
Yeah.
And especially if you know any teachers of Snowline, tell them so that they can come and pray over their classrooms. And so we can pray over their classrooms,
too. Yeah, we're
going
to pray over every campus in front.
Lay hands
on
the doors.
A good time. Probably a fountain, and then we'll caravan from there. Yeah, so I'll give you all the details. I'm just giving you the dates. Put them in your calendar. And then the 5th. We're going to go down to Corona Del Mar. We're going to do baptisms.
Yep.
And have just a day out at the beach.
Beach day.
But
baptism.
We're going to kill two birds with one stone, or one stone with two birds. And that night, we just found out that Christ Safari is playing at Huntington Pier.
Yes.
At 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we're going to have the day at the beach. And after you get all roasted and toasted, we're going to go over to Huntington. And then we're gonna jam on with them, because that is gonna be a great venue out there at the pier outside. You want to see them jam? It's gonna go off. They're awesome, man. So Christ Safari is gonna be there. I'm excited.
Yes.
So we'll be at that one for sure. So count on a long day, a lot of water and sunscreen.
And the earlier we get down to Corona Del Mar, especially on a Saturday, the better.
Yeah, we're gonna
have to get
there early.
Because the parking lots fill up. I'm not going to give you a certain time, because you guys, if y'all want to get, some of you want to get down there early to go, you know, get down there early. Mike and I are going to get down there early. We're just not sure what time yet.
Yeah.
And we're going to have the kids with us, so we can't take everybody.
I wish I had a bus.
So.
I wish I need a bus. All right. But we'll figure it out, the right situation, caravan situation, if everyone wants to follow. And we're going to go early. And we'll be out there all day.
And bring your kids.
Right? And we'll do the baptisms later on in the late morning when it's nice and warm and all that good stuff, all right?
And so, it is $26 per car that goes down there if you get into the parking lot, and it's an all-day parking. If you don't make it into the parking lot, you're going to have to park in the neighborhood and walk your way down. I'm sure we could give you a ride back up somehow, some way, put you in the trunk or whatever. But that trek is pretty steep. Yeah, it does. It stinks. Yes, we've done it. Been there, done that. So the earlier you can get down there, the better.
And we are. I didn't realize the demographics, or not demographics, geography of how it works. But when we're going to be hanging out on the beach, it's a little hike over to Pirates Cove. So that's where we're going to do the baptisms. We're going to hike over to Pirates Cove. Pirates Cove is in Malibu. They were just there yesterday. All right, everybody, just listen to our instructions.
Okay,
Gina's going to go to Malibu.
Hold up. Why don't we just, and this is just, I feel like the Lord is telling me this, why don't we just do the baptisms there at Corona Del Mar in that area where there may never have been baptisms, so that everyone there can see baptisms being done and get the example of who knows what's going to happen. Why do we have to go to Pirates Cove where there's already been baptisms? Go somewhere else.
We're going to have a discussion.
Start a new one.
We'll have a discussion. Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We're going to be at Corona Del Mar, and let's be there, and we'll figure it out from there.
Okay? I say we just do it where
and
we are.
And this Thursday at the Al Rancho de Villegas at 6 o'clock, Anybody that's going to be baptized that would like to get baptized, we're going to do a little sit-down class, talk about it, and so that way you guys have a full understanding of what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how awesome it is. Amen? So this Thursday, 6 o'clock at our house. Cool?
Cool.
All right. And then moving forward to November, write this in your calendar. We are going to be having the Thanksgiving dinner. It looks like on the 19th of November at Fountain Living Water. So Thanksgiving dinner that we do with the community. They are looking at getting a tent in the front this time so everybody could be together and it's not separated like it was last year and during Easter. So the 19th, write down your calendars. I'm already going to reach out to the community. We're actually pre-planning. It's awesome. And thanks to Fountain for sitting down and writing out their calendar so that way we could get some dates down too. And then, I don't know yet. And then the 17th, the 18th of December, we're going to have the, our Christmas toy giveaway, and that's going to be at Fountain somewhere in there. We're going to figure out how we're going to set that up. We're going to be starting to meet and see how it's going to be developed. December 18th. It's a Monday night. Yeah. It's a Monday night. We're going to set up on the 17th. So that way the 18th, we could do it. Because anything closer, that's going to get a little rough.
Are we doing the school?
Yeah, so we're still trying to get information from the schools right now. We're going to adopt some families. We won't get their specific name because they won't do that because of privacy issues. But we are going to get a count of how we can help some of the children in our school district out here in Snowline and bless some families and kind of do that. So we'll keep you posted with that once we get more information. But I did find out they probably won't give us their names. But we should be able to get at least kind of a count of who needs what and things like that. So we want to bless our kids in the community. And at the same time, it blesses teachers. Because if they're unable to get material, the teachers have to pick up that cost. So we want to just kind of help in general where we can.
And I would say if any of you know of a kid in, you know.
Yeah, families.
Families.
That need a backpack or materials, supplies. We want to be connected in that way.
Yeah, just come see us if you do know somebody by name, and then that way we can get something together for them.
Amen.
Okay.
December 18th is Christmas. Our great toy giveaway.
Toy giveaway. Yes, Debbie. Oh, yeah. Big Bear, 29th. Oh,
29th. Yes, Big Bear. If anybody
Thank
would
you,
like
Debbie.
To join, we could caravan up that way too. Starts at 11 o'clock, goes to 4. I'll be speaking the second, so probably about 1 o'clock I think I'm speaking, and then we're just going to be up there having a good time. So 29th, that's going on up there. We talked to Robert. He's all excited about it. So
yeah.
It's
an open worship thing all up there, all day, 11 to 4.
Up in Big Bear.
He is. I have to pick up Alana from PK Retreat.
It's the Summit Christian Fellowship up in Big Bear. It's right, literally the same street as the Walgreens that's up there. So if you know anything about Big Bear Boulevard, it's before. It's not in the town. If you're coming the back way, it's before town. So we'll get you the address and that. So if you want to come up that.
And that same day, I believe at 7 o'clock at My Hero, Travis's band Heritage Harmonic will be playing. If you all want to go and check it out, it's always fun to go over there and listen to him play and just have fun with it. He's added some new songs to
medleys.
His medleys and that'll get into your head and just drive you nuts. So just come on out and pray for him because he's got twins on the way. And he's also trying to write his own songs and he's going to start recording. So pray for him because he's trying to take some new avenues in his life. So very exciting.
Yep. All right. And last but not least, Mr. and Mrs., if you could please stand up. These two took the plunge yesterday. So I just wanted to say congratulations to my pops and Susan and definitely pray for them as they start a new adventure. So a lot of new adventures, but we know God's got them. Amen. All right. With that.
And Godspeed, Susan.
Godspeed, Susan. Pray extra for Susan. She's going to need it. Everybody get up and make sure you tell somebody you love them, and then we're going to get right into the word so we get rocking.
Ready, set, go.
To my knees, emptying all of me. I don't wanna be consumed by anything else in this world. But you, Lord, only you, Lord. So take all I have, my heart, and surrender be all that overwhelms me. Scars have shown me that you can invade everything that I am, till there's nothing left in my hands. Your love isn't passive at all. It violently tears down my walls, and one by one my worries fall.
Everybody back to their seats so we can get going with the word. B, you got that video ready to go? Bryson? Should I tell Jess it's my time now? She's had her. Oh, you heard me? Hey, good morning, everybody online. I love you. All right, let me know when you're ready. You ready? All right. Everybody, take your seats.
Be humble. Seek humility. Humble yourself. Think about that scene in Revelation 4 and 5. And just to think, do I dare approach that throne? And yet, no, Scripture says I can. I'm coming before this throne. Who am I? I'm going to come before that throne. And then the humility that says in Romans 8, like, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. I don't know how I should pray or what to pray for. I need you, Holy Spirit. And God, give me the words to say that are according to your will. If you just come with that type of humility to go, I'm coming before him, the king, and I don't even know what to say, but he says that I can pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit's going to intercede for me and through me, and oh, God, this is insane. Okay, I'm going to come before you. I'm going to need the Holy Spirit. God, give me the words to say, gosh, we don't understand what a mystery, what an honor, because it's almost like I hear people that almost act like God is, like they're doing God a favor by showing up to a service or showing up to a prayer meeting, because we're so used to people begging you for, oh, please show up, please, you know, it's like, okay, I showed up, oh, thank you, and we can't approach the throne like that. We've got to come humbly and saying, are you kidding me that I get to do this right now? Unreal. I'm about to come before him.
Hey, man. So I don't know if you noticed, but we are going to be speaking a lot about prayer today. And we're in the book of James, chapter 5, and we're going to hopefully close out the book of James, but maybe not. I don't know yet. You know, as I've been, this last chapter has been just such a great conclusion to the entire book, because we've been, if you've been here through the whole series, you know there's been a lot of topics and reflection on what it is to live a life of holiness. And if you haven't been here, I'm going to kind of sum it up, and you could go back in the book of James or go back on the videos and watch the each week. But James has really dealt with us, the church. He's talking to the Jewish church in that time, Jewish Christians at that time. But he, you know, we could look at it in application, and he's talking to us, the church, in this time, both as a fellowship, but also individually, where we could look in the mirror and say, okay, where am I missing the mark on this point, right? So here are some of the topics we covered since chapter 1. Trials, testing, and faith. Doers of the message, not just hearers. Poverty and riches, and how we're supposed to act in both circumstances, right? Testing and temptation. The true way to worship God, and we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit again, because he revisits a lot of this. Kind of as in to say, okay, are you getting it? Are you hearing it? Right? Chapter 2, we got into the partiality and the forbidden things, faith and works. Chapter 3, we talked about restraining the tongue, and we could revisit that over and over and over every day. Amen. We talked about the wisdom that comes down from above, and we're praying on that today. We need that wisdom. We're praying for each other, right? In chapter 4, we talked about being subject to yourselves, subject ourselves to God, our arrogance in boasting about the future and my plan, not God's plan, or my will, not God's will. We talked about the warning against judging others as a community, individually, but in our church as well. And then we get into chapter 5, and he kind of revisits some things. It was he kind of went to the woes on the rich who oppress others, and you know the dangers of wealth that the world provides us, right? Because the world could provide us a lot of wealth, but there's dangers behind it when you put that wealth as a god. Exhortation and patience, patiently waiting for the second coming. That's a big one, because that's where we're at. We're patiently waiting. And today we're going to talk about the effectiveness of prayer in our faith. And as you can tell, it takes great faith to pray. It's not something that we just do. And a lot of people think it is. A lot of people think, okay, well, I'm praying. And I pray in faith, but nothing happens. How many? Yeah, oh, I'm praying, but God's not showing up, or I don't hear God. That's always the one I hear. Like, I can't hear God right now. Well, guess what? It takes faith. And we got to understand what faith is to understand how we pray in faith. Because we can say, hey, I'm faithful. I have faith in the Lord. But it's deeper than that, isn't it? It's having faith in His will. It's having faith in His plan, in His good plan. So as I go into the scripture here, we're gonna hear what James has to say about this subject of prayer and faith. And he leaves us. This is the final exhortation of the letter that he wrote to the church in the time. And it's not like Paul's. You know, Paul always has a pretty good exhortation or a benediction at the end where you're like, oh, I feel good. He actually leaves the church with a greater challenge at the end. But a lot of things he says here, you'll see throughout the Bible. You'll see how we are called to pray in faith, or just come in supplication with great faith and knowing without a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus and that God will show up. Now here's the faith part. When he shows up and he answers the prayer, that you receive it in faith. Can't do it with your hands closed. And a lot of times the reason why we close our hands is because we don't want to receive the answer that he's given us. Amen. Sometimes a no is a no. Sometimes a not now is a not right now. Sometimes silence, the mysteries of what the Lord has, is a mystery to us, but he knows. And it takes great faith to understand that and trust in him. Amen. So before we get into scripture, let's pray it in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great day that you've given us. We thank you for the prayer that you bless us with today, the example of prayer that we're about to read about. And Lord, we pray that we just continue as a church, not to be a church that prays, but a praying church in great faith and acknowledging that you are so good that you will show up. And as we pray for each other, Lord, it's your will be done. It's your plan. It's your mercy and your grace. It's your healing in the time that's right. And that we are able to receive the answer that you give us. Lord, we thank you for just being who you are and being so good to us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, if you're in James chapter 5, verse 13, say amen. Amen. And we'll see if we finish out James. I can't promise anything today. Here we go. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Don't answer that question out loud. It says, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, my translation back in verse 15, actually, let's go verse 14, is anyone among you sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil. My translation doesn't say only the pastors can do it. It doesn't say only the leader of the church. It says the elders. It says those, and later on it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. See, the thing is that we come a lot of times, we say, hey, I'm going to go get prayer from this person. Well, if he's a righteous person, it'll be effective. But just know that the same, just like Jess said today, the same Holy Spirit that resides in that righteous person resides in you. Sometimes it's about us discovering and having the faith and trust in God that we need to have. So that way when we pray, it can be both, what's the word? Powerful and effective. All right, that's easy, right? Okay, I'm done. Good night. It's not how God works. God has a message for us. And I'm going to take you into Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to go through from chapter 8 to chapter 9, and I'm going to show you guys something that the Lord revealed to me as I was kind of going through this search. And actually, the Lord woke me up last night, and I was sitting there, and Jess goes, what are you doing? And I said, reading, and it was like almost midnight. But I couldn't sleep. I had a weird numbness, and I had to get up. Like, it was one of those, the Lord's like, no, you need to see this. And it's the parable, it's the stories of the life of Jesus in the Gospels that were, something popped out here, and I want you guys to see it. If we go to chapter 8, verse 8, and this is the faith of the centurion. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. Actually, I'll start in verse 5. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, and the centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? I like how Jesus asked that question. Because he said, Lord, like, I have somebody that's hurting. And Jesus goes, well, you want me to come and heal him, or? Well, Jesus wants to have a conversation. He wants to know, okay, where's your faith? You're coming to me, but do you have faith that I can? Amen? And he says this, the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Now, if you don't understand something, that is a declaration of faith. See, he doesn't feel like he's worthy. And just like, I like that video from Francis Chan. I mean, do we ever come in prayer and just realize, man, Lord, I am not worthy to come before you. But thanks be to Jesus Christ. He has made me worthy to come into your presence. So when I come with great prayer and supplication, and I'm coming with the things that are on my heart and my shoulders for not only myself, but for my community, Lord, I am coming in great humility on it. He's showing humility. You can't come into my house. How can the Lord come into my house? Is what he's saying. But he's saying, but if you just say the word, because I know you can heal. I know you can. You don't even need to be there. I've heard the stories. I know you can do it. So even if you don't come, because I don't feel like I'm worthy enough, I know you can do it. So can you just say the words? And what happens? Jesus heals the man. He says this in verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. There's faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So not only does Jesus show the effort of great faith, but he also shows the lack of that faith if you don't have it. This man had great faith. Now let's fast forward a little bit here into chapter 9, verse 1. And this is Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. It says, Jesus stepped into the boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man, laying on a mat. When Jesus saw their what?
Faith.
So it takes faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Wait a minute, I thought he was paralyzed. But Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. See, the prayers that we have for one another, we're not just praying for restoration in body, physically. We're praying for restoration in body, should his will be done. But Lord, restoration in their spirit, that they have the same faith that will heal them, not just on this earth, but eternally with you. See, Jesus shows us right there, it's not just about the paralytic. It's not just about the body. It's about the spirit. Our prayers of faith, when we come to the Lord and we're saying, Lord, I know you can heal, but should you not heal here on earth, I pray that they know you and you can heal them in eternity with you. That's a hard prayer sometimes, because sometimes the answer is, that's where I'll heal them. That's where I'll heal you. But it takes faith to understand that. It takes faith to know that God has a perfect will and plan over our lives when we pray. We're not just praying blank words. And you know what? It doesn't have to be a prayer of just, oh man, look at this guy pray. He's an awesome prayer. He can put words together real well. If you just put hands, if you have faith in knowing that God's will be done and you pray over somebody, it says that there is power and effectiveness in that prayer. Let's pop down to verse 9, chapter 9, verse 9. It says this, as Jesus went, and this is the calling of Matthew. We know Matthew, right? It says that Jesus went on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. That's enough of a message right there if you want me to go off tangent. It says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus says this in verse 12, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, how does that tie in here? I'm going to explain it to you. If you go back to James, see, we're going to be Bible flipping. If you don't have your Bible, you're probably all messed up right now. But it says that, is anyone among you, this is verse 14, sick, let them call the elders and church to pray over them with anointing oil. See, the oil that we pray over each other with is not magical. It's not a magical oil. There's nothing magical about it. It's a representation of the Holy Spirit washing over us when we bless each other with oil. And it's not something that we just do. It's something that was shown to us from the Old Testament to the Gospels and into the church today. Amen? See, back in the Old Testament, I think it's Exodus 30:30, you'll see that there were kings that were anointed with oil from the prophets. They would call the prophets in because becoming a leader, you knew you needed the blessing and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know that, you need to humble yourself. So they would call the prophets and they would bring them in to anoint the new king with oil as a washing of the Holy Spirit upon them as they go out and lead a people. The oil is not the power and authority, it's the Holy Spirit. What we do with the oil is a practice that shows the Holy Spirit washing over you, so we understand and believe that the Holy Spirit has washed upon you.
Do you want me to read Exodus 30:30?
If that, I might have quoted it wrong, but go ahead.
There you go. And consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. Say to the Israelites, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come.
Amen. That's good. Go ahead. Okay. You got to read it in the mic, though.
Okay. You know, I'm a priest.
Thanks, my lovely wife.
So Exodus 30:30-33 says, anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. Say to the Israelites, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. Do not pour it on anyone else's body and do not make any other oil using the same formula. It is sacred and you are to consider it sacred. Whoever makes perfume like it and puts it on anyone other than a priest must be cut off from their people. So might not have wanted to go that far, but it's all right.
But we understand that the anointing is a blessing that has been shown to us from the Old Testament is what you guys need to realize, right? And if we move on in the book of Matthew chapter 9, we see in verse 18 is Jesus and the dead girl and heals the sick woman, right? Jesus raises the dead girl and the sick woman. And if you pop down to verse 22, it says, Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And we pop down again in verse 27. This is the healing of the blind and the mute. It says, Jesus went out from there. Two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors with the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? What does it take to believe that?
Faith.
It takes faith to believe that Jesus can heal. He says, yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. This is all through the stories that the Gospels of Jesus, his walk, his healing. Do you understand? It's a lot of times we look at the healing, we know that, okay, Jesus healed. But it was the faith of their brothers. It was the faith of the centurion. It was the faith of the father. Sometimes it was the faith of the actual person that was in danger or in trouble physically. But Jesus healed them, and he always say, go in faith, go in peace. Now you might be asking, we could trap ourselves here and say, okay, like I said, we've said these prayers, but I'm still ill. God doesn't hear my prayers. Now understand, when we pray in His will be done, it takes great faith. Greater faith sometimes. Because we have to understand that it's not His time or will to heal us yet. His purpose is to heal us spiritually. His purpose is to save us and call us his own and guide us to a place where we recognize him in every portion of our life. See, our prayers are for us. But it's not just when we're sick or in trouble. In the very beginning of Peter chapter 5, or James chapter 5, verse 13, it says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. See, unfortunately, we are a people that tend to come to the Lord when there's problems. And when everything's nice and good and comfy, we start getting lazy in our prayers and praise for the one that brought us to that nice and comfy spot. But he's reminding us, if you're in trouble, pray. That's an easy one. You know you're going to pray when things are getting rough. You know you're going to come to God and ask him why. You know you're going to fall down in exhaustion and not understand and say, Lord, help me. But it's when things are going right, are you still faithful and humble to him and acknowledge that he is great? Are we praising him? in First Corinthians 14:26, it says, "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." In contrast to the world, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:15-20, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because these days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So let's back up here. It says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So if you're not walking in faith, and if you don't understand the Lord's will, then that makes you foolish. Because the Lord's desire is not for you to be foolish, but to be wise. Amen? So that could be very offensive. Be like, "Pastor Mike, you calling me foolish?" I'm like, no, only if you think that God's will isn't good enough. And yes, I will let you know you are being foolish. And there's a lot of foolish people in the world, but yet we are not of this world, because Jesus was not of this world, and he hasn't called us to be of this world. He has called us in every part of Scripture to be set apart and understand that his will never align with the world's will. It never will. And when you start walking in his will, the world will never understand you, including the closest people in your life. Because when you start praying in his will, you're going to make decisions based on his word. And when you make decisions on his word, you're going to move in his purpose. And when you move in his purpose, they're not going to understand why you're doing it. Because the world is telling you, go get rich quick and submit to the world and compromise. But God says, never submit. And what does it say? You're going to have a renewed mind. Paul tells us that we are going to have a renewed mind, never conforming to the patterns of this world. Well, guess what the pattern of this world is? It's not God's will. It is our own will. We are saying, "My will be done." That is not what God calls us. And that's not what James is telling us. He's saying, when you're in a good place, be happy and sing songs of praise. And when you need help, go ask the people in the church. Go ask the elders. Go look to the righteous one. You know who they are. The one that you've seen things happen when they pray. And in that prayer, the Holy Spirit will affect your heart, your mind, your body, and your spirit, where you say, "I want that." Because guess what? The blessing isn't for just us alone. It's to pour out of us to encourage others, because that's what God is about. About building up, edifying, and correcting, and fixing, and taking down to the bare knuckles and building back up. And we do that in prayer. It's not about fancy words. It's about the Holy Spirit leading the words. There's times that easy stuff, right? God shows up in some of the smallest things sometimes, I'll tell you. And if you don't acknowledge him in the smallest things and only the big things, then you're missing the point. You always acknowledge God. I'll give you a quick example. On a Friday, my job on Friday was crazy. I had to go and reset a code on a keypad. I had no idea how to do it. Then I get there and there's a key, like a lock on it. I'm like, okay, where's that key at? I have three bunches of keys. If you know anything about a facilities guy or a janitor, they have keys all over, right? I have one on me and I got two more bunches in the truck. Yeah, I'm like, all right, here we go, one at a time. I don't even know if I have the key. I spend all day there. So I look at my keys, and on the way to this job, I was like, all right, Lord, just make this be an easy one, please. It's hot. I just want the easy one. So I grab this one key and I'm like, all right, here we go. And it turns. The first key. And I start laughing. I laugh out loud when God shows up like that. You know why? Because he never ceases to impress me. He continues to show me his awesomeness in some of the smallest things, the details. And it turns, and I'm like, And I'm laughing. I'm like, that's funny. And I take the key off and I put it where I know where it's at now. It's the little things sometimes that if we just have, if we just say, Lord, if it's your will, make it easy for me, please. And sometimes we get into it, and I'll tell you what, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we're like, and then when it's not easy, what's the first thing we do? Well, God didn't answer my prayer. And then what do we do as a church sometimes? There must be something wrong with you. Is there sin in your life that you need to get rid of first? Since when did Jesus say, hey, I'm going to save you after you're done sinning? Actually, the Bible says while we were still sinners, you died for me on the cross and you saved me. And in that saving grace, now you are going to prepare me and build me up and continue to show me who you are. This is prayer. I'm not going to finish James today because this is good. When we pray with anointing oil, we are praying in great faith. And it doesn't have to be anything special. I heard this message this week. This pastor was talking about a devoted member of a church. He owned an auto shop. But everybody knew, man, if we go to him, he prays. He prays over people. He's a prayer warrior. He was a bill. We get a bill. Right? He's a prayer warrior. And he didn't have oil. So when people would show up to his shop and say, hey, I just need prayer, he would go to the car and get some oil and put it on their head. Because the oil is not magical. It's a blessing. The anointing is the Holy Spirit in that person. That's what makes somebody righteous. It's not the things of the world. It's the Holy Spirit. And when we're walking in God's will, all of a sudden we start praying in His will and we start understanding and seeing how He shows up every time, even in our illness. Sometimes you're in a place that you don't want to be. I got a whole book of people that didn't want to be where they were sometimes. There's a Paul in here. I guarantee you he didn't want to be shipwrecked a couple times. He didn't want to be bitten by a snake. He didn't want to be persecuted and beaten. He didn't want to be thrown in jail. But you know what? In that, in understanding God's will over his life, and the reason why he understood it is because he was Saul. And God changed him. And when God changes you and you acknowledge that change in your life, all of a sudden, that faith that you thought you had blows up to something even greater. Because you know, man, Lord, you know who I was. You know what I've done. So when I'm praying in your will, I've already seen the work that you could do. Just like that centurion. I can't have you in my house. You are that awesome. If you just say it from here, can you just say it from here? I know you can. If you could just say it. Lord, if you could just deliver this area. Lord, if you could just do this. Lord, but you know what? I ain't coming to you like that. I'm coming to you. If you could do this, Lord, your will be done. I trust in your answer. I have faith in that answer. Because I know wherever God takes me, there's a purpose behind it. I didn't understand that before. Because I'd be in a place and I'm like, Lord, this is not what I had planned. Lord, this is not comfortable. I thought this walk, you know, it'd be a little easier. I like that. That is a narrow gate. That ain't an easy path. I'm going to pump up here. James chapter 5, verse 17 says, and this is the example that he gives on what fervent prayer looks like. It says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. You'll find this in 1 Kings 17. It says, again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. See, the Jews in the time, they would often come to this message in understanding the power of prayer. See, when God does something big like that for everybody to see, there's no doubting the power of prayer. And sometimes we're those people that, while seeing is believing. I prayed and prayed, and I've never really seen a miracle. It's not that you haven't seen it. It's that you're not aware of it. Because miracles are happening all the time. See, the problem with modern day media and society is the miracles are not going to be on Channel 7 News. The miracles are not going to be front page of the newspaper or in your greatest social media network. Because this is not the Lord's here, now. The enemy's gonna make sure he oppresses those things. After we finally finish James, I'm going to go into a sermon series about rediscovering our love for the Word. And I'm going to kind of give you an insight to that. And the reason why I'm peeling off here is because this is important to understanding what faith takes. We're going to really dig into the Word and how good it is for us. What God has blessed us with in the Word. See, in our country, in our place, we've lost that love. We actually got into this conversation on Wednesday night, Bible study. Jeannie said that after we go through the seven churches, she's been in studies where they actually write a letter, what it would look like to write a letter to the church today. And I said, it'll probably take all these letters and put them in one. But then we started talking, and I said, man, we've lost our love for God's Word. We've lost our, you know, we're spoiled. We're spoiled here. So a lot of times, even when we pray in a very spoiled mentality. God, I want. God, I need. God, my will. God, do it now. God, where are you? Yeah. That's spoiled mentality. That's a me world, right? That's what, I mean, think about it. Everything's a selfie nowadays. But God's Word is always about Him. You know, there's people in other countries that travel, and I showed some of the videos. They travel miles, sometimes days, to get their hands on a Bible. And sometimes not even the whole Bible. Maybe a portion of it. And we take it so for granted. How many Bibles do you have at home? I can tell you right now, I have about 10. Besides all the commentaries about the Bible. Besides all the other books about each book of the Bible. There's people that walk a distance to grab one Bible. That's where we start our faith. Is rediscovering our love for His Word. Because when we understand how good He is in His Word, every example that we have in here, I just took you through the Gospels and showed you a couple areas where what James is saying here is not off from what Jesus showed then. That's how we should be ministering. And I guess I will close it up. Here you go. We are going to close up James because this is where it makes sense. Verse 19 says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, what's the truth? Hold up your Bible. That's the truth right there. If you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. And this is why I said his final exhortation is not like Paul's. Paul's is, you know, be blessed and go out and, you know, it's like, ooh, this is a challenge. It says, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. You remember when Jesus said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven? It starts with prayer. And if we believe that there's power in prayer, and we have faith in the power of prayer, and we know that when we do this as a righteous person, and being righteous is what? We are made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Amen, somebody. All of a sudden, we're walking righteously by the blood because He's called us righteous. We could come to the throne freely. Then it becomes powerful and effective. Then when we pray for somebody in His will, not our own, and in great faith, all of a sudden it begins to do a saving grace in them. And it brings them back to the Lord. And then they are repentant and find their way back to the Lord that they didn't know they had a desire for. And it says that it will cover over a multitude of sins. Because you know what? We're all sinners. And when one person comes to Christ Jesus, that's a multitude of sins in one person. And then when they're saved and they start learning the truth, the word, and they start learning the goodness of God, not the lies that my God is an angry God and he wants vengeance and all that. No, not the lies. I'm talking about what God did in every single page to bring us back to him. Then they start praying and they start understanding and praying in his will, in his understanding, in his great purpose. And they start looking to the person next to them. And all of a sudden it starts happening again. And a multitude of sins again are forgiven. It's power and authority in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, all authority that was given to him has been given to you. And the only way is given to you if you're walking in the Holy Spirit. Because you ain't got no authority without him. None. A little bit of humility. A little bit of understanding. Because it always points back to God. It always thinks back. It always goes back to, thank you, Jesus, I'm worshiping you because you are using a wretched sinner to do your great work. And I don't need to walk around in that sin anymore. I don't need to glorify that sin anymore. I don't need to walk shameful anymore. I can walk righteously and cleansed in your name, and I can start praying for people and let them know that they are loved by a God that's created them. Is what did you say? Amen. Stand on the soapbox, not the tower. I like that. Because if you've seen anything, what's happening today are people building up their own Babel. Building up their own tower. It's happening in churches. And all of a sudden their prayers are not powerful and they're not effective. But they bring in a lot of money. And we already know what James says about money. If you ain't got it, it's because God hasn't given it. We don't need riches. All we need is riches in the Holy Spirit and in his will. We are kings. We are sons and daughters and heirs to the kingdom. That is enough riches that we need. No matter what else he does for us in our life. If it is for us to go home with an illness, guess what? He's calling you home with an illness. If it is for him to heal you here on earth, guess what? It's not just for you. It's for somebody's around you to see his miraculous work. And in every step of the way, when we pray, your will be done, Lord. And I trust in your will, no matter, regardless what happens. Walking around through COVID, the one thing I would say, Lord, if you call Mike home with COVID, I'm going home. Your will be done. If I get sick, that's your will. It's up to you, Lord. But you know what? I know that you're protecting us. And I know through our lives, you're going to do something great. And if it's to affect one person, guess what? It's a multitude of sins. And God saves. Finally, let faith be contagious. I don't know where that came from. I like that, though.
Let's have a contagious faith. And it just reminded me of when you said that, you know, if God calls you home, your faith is going to be the example to other people.
Their faith saved the paralytic.
And not only did their faith save him, their faith made a way up onto the roof, made a way through the crowd, made a way through obstacles and through mountains to get their friends through the roof.
Yeah, I know. There's so many good stories. I mean, we'll be here until... I'm not putting a time limit on God today, so get comfortable. We're gonna close up in Colossians, and this is Paul's letter to the church, starting in verse 3, and you're going to see a lot of the same wording here, a lot of the same message, but I love how Paul puts it all together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. And it says this in the closing. It says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel, which is the truth that has come to you, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit. So wait, when you start trusting in the Lord, all of a sudden you start bearing fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And he says this, if I find my place, and growing through the whole world. So all of a sudden, the fruit that you're bearing, it starts growing through others, and it starts growing through the whole world. And if you guys aren't with us on Wednesday nights, the seven churches are fruit of what was growing. Amen? And it says, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So where did they hear it from? Somebody. So then that go back to what James said. You better go tell them about the truth. Make sure they don't veer from the truth. Because when they hear it, all of a sudden they come back to the truth. It says, you learned it from Epaphras. Is that right? Did I say it right? I always struggle with words. Our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister and of Christ on our behalf. And who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. There's that prayer again. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. See how Paul brings it all together? I love it. Through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all... I lost y'all, huh? Power. I was looking to catch up. All power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. What did James tell us throughout his book? We got to be patient. We got to endure. It takes faith. Then he says, and giving joyful thanks. Isn't that praise? Yeah. Giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's a multitude last I checked. So what James is saying, Paul said. What Paul said, Jesus did. What Jesus did was the truth of the Old Testament. It's all together. God is consistent and persistent, and He's saying the same thing. Start praying in His will. Start praying in faith, and you will pray and have and walk righteously in His name, and you will have power and effectiveness in what you are saying, because it's not what you are saying. It's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen. You want to experience that excitement? Man, get into the truth. If you veer from it, I'm here to tell you, get into the truth. Stop veering away from it. His word saves. His word delivers. His word covers the multitude of sins. Because Jesus is the Word. John 1. Jesus is the Word. And the Word was on the cross, and the Word forgave. That is the faith that I stand on when we pray for health. That's the faith I stand on when we pray for deliverance. That's the faith I stand on when we pray for direction and guidance. That is the faith I stand on when I say, Lord, Your will be done. Because mine is destructive. God is good. And all the time. So let Him be good over your life. Stop resisting it. Would you resist a free gift that God has given you? When you say, Lord, that looks good and all, but that's not what I wanted. God has blessed you. So when we come in prayer together, when you're in prayer at home, you are coming before the Creator of all things, God. And the only reason you're able to do that is because the great high priest is sitting there on the right side and he's saying, I got this one, Pops. He's good. He loves you. He loves you so much that He's going to expose things in you. He's going to show you what you need out of your life. He doesn't want you to walk like that. He wants to take it from you. And he takes it from you and he nails it to the cross that he was nailed on. Don't go back up to the cross and take it off. We get to come before God. Don't take that for granted. One day this book in our country will be illegal. Maybe soon. You better have boxes of these. You better be ready to start going in the underground and handing them out. You better know what it says. People are going to need this. They need it now. But the only way we could do it is if you have faith and that we're praying in that faith in Him. Let Him be that in your life. Don't hold back anymore. Amen? Let's pray it out. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord. We just thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for your words in the book of James that have just pierced our hearts, exposed the things that we need to see. And Lord, we just praise you for drawing us even closer. So many times we think that we're just this outstanding Christian by what we say and doesn't reflect in who we are or what we do. But Lord, I just pray that you continue to work in and through us, that we can walk the walk that you've called us to walk in, Lord. That we can persevere and run the race and walk righteously before this world, that they see not us, but they see you. We pray that you continue to just do a works in us that is never done until we come see you in glory. Thank you that you've shown us that in prayer, that we could come in great confidence in knowing that you answer prayers, that we can have faith in what we're saying because your word is true. We thank you for your forgiveness, for your love, and for your grace and mercy, something that we could never pay back. Lord, you give it to us so freely. We praise you for this day. We praise you for our lives, and we praise you for tomorrow. Lord, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. They can't hear you online.
Okay. So I was writing down the basic prayer. So if anybody of you know, most of you guys are pretty seasoned in here and you have the way you pray and you're already connected the way you pray. So I'm not really talking to you, but this is... Oh, sorry. So this is really for like a beginner's prayer. If you don't know how to pray and you don't know what to say, you just came to Christ, I got it down to 5 steps. Makes it really easy. And I wrote down the 5 steps and the example, and basically it's just a really good way to just give yourself a foundation. And the more you start doing this every day, the more you can start making it a part of your everyday life, whether it's 5 minutes on the way to work or whatever it is. It's just a really good foundation. And Pastor, I think you guys will like this too, because it's just a basic starter set. Number one, pray against the enemy. The first thing you do, you're going to have that divine time between you and God. So the first thing you want to do is just rebuke the enemy. So number one, pray against the enemy. For example, dear Lord, first and foremost, in the name of Jesus, I command Satan, because God gives you that power. I command Satan in Jesus' name, Satan and all your demons be gone. Send them to the foot of, remove them from every soul on this earth. Remove them from me. Return them to the pit of hell and remain there in bondage for all of eternity. That's what I personally pray every morning when I start. That's just an example. You could do it any way you want. Pray against the enemy. Number two, ask for the Holy Spirit to show up. Lord, we just ask, like I say, I ask the Holy Spirit to come down like the great flood, cleanse all the souls on the earth, repair all the damage that has been done. Lord, flood me with your Holy Spirit, every molecule, every fiber of my being, cleanse my heart and soul and mind. I ask the Holy Spirit to surround me daily, protecting my heart and soul and mind. Help me to recognize your voice away from my own. Let your voice of love and instruction be loud like a cymbal so that I know it's you and not me. So that's number two. Ask the Holy Spirit to show up. Number three, give him your praise and thanks. Do we ever, we tell our kids all the time, you know, they come and they ask for money or they ask for driving lessons or they ask for this or they ask for that. But doesn't it help if it softened the blow and they come and they go, hey, mom, you look pretty today, you know, or whatever. Then it's like, oh, well, maybe I won't. So, you know, go to God and say thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you for the food on my table. Thank you for the clothes on my back. Thank you for being here every day. Thank you for forgiving me every day. Like, because we are the whiners. We are the Israelites who whine all the time. You know, and we just need to be grateful God is still here even after all these years. So give him the praise and the thanks. So that's number three. Number four, that's when you can ask for your forgiveness. You know, repent of your sins. The Lord will give you in your mind when you come to him in your forgiveness. Does he not just give you a visual of what he wants you to ask for forgiveness for in that moment? He gives you a vision. He tells you, I want you to ask for forgiveness for, you know, what you did yesterday or maybe something you did a long time ago or whatever. He brings those thoughts and those memories back to you when it's his time that he wants forgiveness, right? You guys remember that? So that's when you ask for forgiveness. Basically, reveal the sins that he brings to your mind. Surrender your sins to God in your mind because you don't need to do it out loud. That's between you and God. Of course, if you're alone in your car, you know, that's when you... whether it's your weakness in addiction, your adultery, lying, cheating, stealing, hatred, etc. I repent of my old ways, fleshly desires. I give my whole self to you and do with what you will. And number five, that's when you can ask for help. Your desires and yours should be the last thing you ask for. So help me to love you, live for you more. Help me to stay focused on you every second of every day, forever. Help me to speak only love and truth. Give me strength to stay focused on you forever. And that's when you can start praying for your family, your friends, work, the world, the president, our government, children, lost children, you know, and human trafficking. The three R's, may I reflect, represent, and respond Jesus every day. And then thank you for hearing me today, being with me and loving me. Your will be done, not my own. And no matter what happens, may I give you all of the glory. I trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's just the basic five if you're a beginner in prayer that, you know, and if you want to write that down, I have some paper and a pen and go from there. That's all.
On earth as in heaven, right here in my my heart.
Amen. And don't forget, Wednesday night Bible study, we're up in Wrightwood still. So if you need the address, get up there. We're in the fifth church. I think we're in Philadelphia finally. Right? We're in Philadelphia this time? We're in Philly. So we're having Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, right, Jared? We're in Philly. We got to have some Philly cheesesteaks. All right, Romans 16, 25 through 27 says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel," this is Paul writing, "and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ." And the whole crowd said,
Amen.
Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week.